All right, time to bring it over to the men's side of the Ivies. And did we not say that it was literally going to come down to the final buzzer whistle on the final day of the final weekend of the Ivies, that this was all going to be sorted out? We said this back in January, and
what a great way to cap off the craziest Ivy season.
That's how it exactly played out. We had the game up here, Cornell and Dartmouth, and the Big Red needing a win and a couple of scenarios to play out. Well, they got the win, an impressive win over the Dartmouth Big Green, and we'll talk a little bit about that more coming up here. But they also get all the other dominoes to fall, and then Princeton and Yale go to overtime. And, of course, the
they needed Princeton to lose.
They needed Princeton to lose. Now, Princeton was up towards the tail end of that fourth quarter there, which was just very, if you're watching, I'm curious if there were coaches on the sideline with their phones out there. I mean, it was just very interesting.
At least maybe the live stats. Maybe not watching, but just
the
checking
live
the scores.
Stats. But so there's obviously the tweet that was out in the video of the Cornell Big Red watching in the locker room the end of that game. What people didn't see, I'm packing up the equipment, getting ready, you know, lead's pretty empty after the game. There's a couple of Cornell stragglers here and there. Here comes Brian Earle walking out of the locker room, and I'm thinking, where's he going? There's, you know, usually the media meets right in front of the door, and Coach Earle walks all the way to the end of the baseline on the other end, kind of leans up, and Dave McLaughlin's kids were actually playing a little one-on-one hoops with the basketball that was laying around. And then Coach Earle just wandering around. He didn't want to watch the game as the rest of his team was, and he just wanted to be by. I'd never seen that before. And then, of course, as the final buzzer happened, one of the Cornell fans ran over, gave him a big hug, and the Big Red in the four seed. We both picked the Big Red coming into this weekend.
We did.
So
we
thank
don't get
you
our picks
much.
Right very often.
Not very often.
Or do we agree on picks?
But it happened there. Big congratulations to the Cornell Big Red in getting to that four spot.
I was kind of rooting for them a little bit. And once Dartmouth played spoiler, because Columbia could have controlled their own destiny.
Right.
If they would have won both, they were in. But once after that Friday game, Dartmouth played spoiler, I had an even better feeling that Cornell was going to come out in that four seed.
So Harvard is the one seed. Penn is the two seed, but they are the co-champs. First 20-win season for Penn in since 2006.
And speaking of roaming around in a quiet gym, did you see that Coach Donahue and the team, they cut down nets at the Palestra at like 2:30 in the morning? So when they got off the bus, which I thought was pretty cool.
So Yale is the three seed, and again, Cornell gets the four seed. And just kind of again, we gave our overall thoughts on the women's side. And on the men's side, it was a couple of takeaways that I had. Obviously, home court domination, again, another big thing for both the women's and the men's side. I mean, it's just, you look at the home records for all these teams. I mean, even the Dartmouth Big Green, they were 500 at home this year, much better than they were on the road. So home court was obviously very big.
And do you think, Brett, the question is, with this Ivy League and we bring up the back-to-backs, like I attest the home court wins, not that the fan base is really in your face and good and makes it difficult to play in. I view that as the travel, and it is the players being on long bus rides, getting in the middle of the night. And that's what I would say is the reason for all of those home wins.
It's definitely a contributing factor. There definitely is no doubt about it. And you don't even have back-to-backs in high school games. I mean, that's just how unique it is. You know, it was interesting to see, you know, if you're a Penn fan, I mean, this was the season that you've been hoping for quite some time. And I think it came a little bit early this year. I don't think a lot of people thought that the Quakers would be this good this early. I certainly didn't. I mean, I felt that they would be in contention for a Final Four spot, but I didn't think they were going to be this good this early. And I think that's a testament to Steve Donahue, who will reveal our picks that we gave for the Ivy League postseason awards. Steve Donahue was my coach of the year. I mean, Penn has the depth. They have the young players, and they had some senior leadership as well, and that goes a long way. It was a credit to the Quakers and their fans. I mean, I know the ride's not over yet, but boy, you had to be happy if you were a Penn fan this year.
Well, I think too, Brett, something that, you know, Penn fans weren't necessarily sure of is Steve Donohue's known for his offense. But they played really high-level defense this year, like one of the best in the nation in defending the three-point line, holding opponents to under 30%. So the defense, but also offensively, we have to remember, you know, A.J. Broder, he was a center last year. And he made the move to make him a power forward, which now the offense is going through him. And I think that is a huge reason for their success so early.
I think some other storylines for the Ivy League. You mentioned Columbia, another year where they control their own destiny and they come up over. I mean, the big, you know, punch in the gut was the loss to Dartmouth on Friday night. Mike Smith played a good game. Unfortunately, he just didn't have that good of a start. And Columbia was just down in the hole so early, even though they did mount a couple of comebacks. It was just too little payback for Dartmouth fans from the earlier matchup in New York City. But that's got to be one, if you're the Lions, again, 2 years in a row that you've had a chance where you control your own destiny, and that didn't happen. And the other storyline, I think, is Princeton, the way they struggled this year. And again, they mathematically had the better chance of getting in to the Ivy League tournament, and they fell just a bit short. So those were the couple of other storylines that I had here in the Ivy League. Anything else stand out for you?
No, I was going to mention Princeton as well. I mean, they were preseason pick third. They did graduate. You know, they ran the table last year, which is hard to believe when you watch the team and, you know, where they finished below that. They're in the fifth seed. They didn't even make it to the Palestra, whereas a year ago they ran the table. They won. They, you know, almost beat Notre Dame in the NCAA tournament. But I think Mitch Henderson, he showed his frustrations and in some of his post-game comments and just that, you know, they got to put it together. But they have the pieces. So it almost seems like maybe it's a chemistry issue. But you have Miles Stevens, you have Devin Kennedy, and you have Amir Bell, all really good players in this league. So you're just curious what was kind of that cause of that skid in the conference play.
You know, I know they had some injuries early on to some of their big men, but boy, the post-play really struggled there at times, especially in the Dartmouth game up here. I mean, Dartmouth's not much bigger, and they really pushed around the Tigers in the paint. So, again, that's got to be frustrating if you're a fan of the orange and black. And then just kind of looking at the two bottom teams before we look at the Final Four and this weekend, you know, Brown and Dartmouth, I mean, they've got some really exciting players. And I know that's kind of hard to listen to here when you're on the outside looking in of a postseason, but Brandon Anderson and Desmond Cambridge, who was my Ivy League Rookie of the Year candidate, I'm pretty sure he'll be a unanimous decision. And then you got Dartmouth where, you know, how many one-possession games did they lose when they lost their best player literally 24 hours before the season starts? And nobody's really mentioned that they didn't have Jillian Smith this year, starting point guard. I mean, that is so huge to lose. And but they've got Chris Knight, who's going to be a very exciting player, and they've got a couple of pieces coming back. So Brown and Dartmouth, yeah, well, you're disappointed this year. I like both coaches, and I like the pieces that they have. I think they'll rebound next year.
Absolutely, and both teams had just shown such resiliency because they had both been in many, many last possession games, and with young team and young players, those are hard to get your team backed and focused on.
Looking at some of the and looking at another team, going back to Cornell real quick, finally got to see them in person. And just a couple of things that I was impressed with. Stone Gettings, you know, as much as he's an offensive scorer and Ivy, you know, second Ivy, all Ivy, he is a great passer. He facilitates the basketball really well. And Princeton was true to their head coach, running a true Princeton offense. They were backdoor cutting Dartmouth left and right. On Saturday night, very impressed with Stone Gettings and Matt Morgan, having finally seen them in person this year.
Well, and those two are the reason that Cornell is in that four seed. They're two of the best players in the league. And with Stone Gettings, he's one of the most versatile players in the league. He ranks in the top 10 in scoring, rebounds, field goal percentage, assist, and free throw percentage.
Yeah, that's pretty good.
Yeah, I would say so.
That's pretty darn good. All right, let's look at this weekend in the Ivy League tournament. For the men's side, it'll be Harvard and Cornell, Penn and Yale. And we'll start with the 1-4 matchup, Harvard and Cornell. You know, I think this is going to be a tight game. I really do. And if anybody that's really watched Harvard this year, you know it's going to be a tight game. They're really good defensively. Can they stop Matt Morgan and Stone Gettings? Cornell gave Harvard a game, you know, gave them games both times they met. Is third time a charm here for Cornell going up against Harvard?
I'm going with the Big Red.
You're going with the Big
again,
Red.
Again, I'm a believer. It's hard to beat a team three times. And in their last game, I mean, both games were super competitive. That game one, it was they lost 76-73. Game two, it was 98-88 going into two overtimes. So they're right there, and they have confidence that they can hang. This isn't like, oh, we're a huge underdog, you know, we can't compete. They've shown that they can compete. And with a player like Matt Morgan, who is, you know, ninth leading scorer in the country, I like their chances.
Oh, you took my hot take there. I'm going with Cornell, too.
We're agreeing on Cornell for 2 weeks in a row.
Well, this is incredible here. Again, having seen them in person, I think they're playing some of their best basketball right now. And like you said, they played Harvard tough both of those games. And going into a hostile environment, you need scores. You need people to be able to get you baskets at will. Harvard does have some nice scoring. I think Chris Lewis is a very good defensive player. I really enjoy what he brings to the table. But I just think the offensive meter for me goes to the Big Red. I'm taking Cornell. I agree with you. I'm going with Cornell. All right, 2-3 matchup, Penn and Yale. And Yale on the road, literally, figuratively, they're going to be going up against a one-sided crowd in Philly for that game.
Yeah, it's going to be a packed house at the Palestra. But Yale has proven they can beat the Quakers, and they did. You know, they split the series this season. And for Yale, their big-time players are going to have to show up. I mean, in their win, Maione had 23 points. Phils had 24 points. Both of them are going to need to have big games again.
I would agree with that. You know, Maione had really came of, you know, two as of late in league play. I really like what he brings to the table. Didn't have a stellar game against Dartmouth here up in Hanover, but I really like what he brings to the table. But I think Penn, they've just got the depth. They're playing really good basketball right
now.
They're at home. And this has been a setting that Penn fans have been missing for quite some time, some postseason action for the Quakers. I think Penn wins, and I think they do it rather handedly.
I agree. This is weird. We're
so
agreeing.
We both have Penn, Cornell, Ivy League men's basketball championship game, which would be on Sunday. Who's your winner?
And now I'm going against what I would have been saying all episode, that it's hard to beat a team three times. But I am picking Penn to beat Cornell for three times in the season. And even though Cornell competed, you know, it was 69-61 game one, 79-71 game two. But Penn at home, Coach Donahue, coach of the year, I think he's going to get them to go dancing.
Yeah, not much disagreement on this one here. I'll go with Penn on this one as well. It all lines up for him. I guess the biggest question after this, though, is where they get seated in the tournament.
Well, that is a good question. Before that, though, if Yale didn't have the injuries that they had, right? They had Mason and Bruner. I think very different game.
Yeah, they might not even be the 3 seed.
That's very true.
They could very well be the 2 seed. I think it's that, you know, and I think that's a fair point to make. But without those guys, I'm still going Penn, and I think Penn will go on and represent the Ivy League. I do think they'll be a 14 seed. I think that's as high as they'll get.
That sounds about right.